Good morning. Our first case this morning is United States against Navarstad. Counsel for the defense.
May it please the court, my name is Nathan Bankson, and I, along with Colonel Christopher O'Brien, represent the appellant, Specialist Joshua Navarstad. When Detective McLaughlin, posing as a 15-year-old boy named Adam, requested child pornography, Specialist Navarstad responded by sending a hyperlink. Now, unlike a GIF file sent in an email, and unlike undeveloped film, a hyperlink is not capable of conversion. And as such, it does not fall under the definition of visual depiction as outlined in 18 U.S.C. 2256. Second, when Specialist Navarstad went into that internet cafe, logged on, sought out images of child pornography and viewed them on that kiosk-type computer, he was not in possession of those images. Now, the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th circuits have found that you need an additional step other than seeking out and viewing images in order to be guilty of possession. Some of the things those courts look at are, did the appellant know that those images were being saved to his temporary internet files? Did he save them or download them to his files? Did he send them in an email? Did he print them? Did he store them by other means, such as a CD or a floppy disk or a thumbstick? In this case, there's no evidence on the record that the appellant knew those images were going to his temporary internet files, and we do know from the record that he couldn't access them even if they were. So when we're balancing between possession and viewing, appellant falls on the side of viewing and not possession.
You're just introducing your argument. Do you want to talk about that now, or?
Possession, Your Honor?
Sure.
Yes, Your Honor.
So you're talking about the cache issue, the cache memory. Can you temporarily possess something? Can possession be very transient?
It
just
can.
In theory, it's not a temporal issue. It's something else. It has to do with custody.
You can have custody over something for a short period of time. Yes, Your Honor.
The record at 182 says that users may print what they see on their screen, and they could send it if they wanted to. Does that apply to the photos in question?
Your Honor, the government's witnesses do say he could print what he saw on the screen, or that he could email on that kiosk-type computer. However, there's no evidence that he knew he could do any of those things. And we submit that under the 8th, 9th, and the 10th Circuit's analysis, he didn't take that extra
step. Well, he knew he could print the stuff.
There's no evidence on the record he knew he could print, Your Honor. He may, in fact, have been able to. And that's what the individual that dealt with the computer cafe said, but he doesn't admit that he could print.
Well, let me say in the abstract then, without you conceding that he knew these things, why isn't it possession if you have something that you control sufficiently such that you could print it or send it to somebody else? Putting aside whether he knew, right? It's a separate argument.
Yes, Your Honor. In this case, he viewed the images. And as the 8th, 9th, and I will get to the answering it,
yes,
the 8th, 9th, and 10th Circuit looked at this, they wanted something more. They wanted the individual to actually exercise dominion and control. They didn't want the ability, and they didn't view it as the ability was sufficient. They wanted just something more. And that something more in many cases was he knew the images were in the temporary internet files with cache. Or he knew that he could print them, or that he deleted them and actually took that affirmative act. So for the knowing possession, you need that extra step. Well, the ability to print could be constructive possession. It's certainly not enough to push us over that analysis there between viewing, which is what he did, and then the actual possession. He couldn't take those images with him, Your Honor.
So in this case, under that analysis, had he printed or had he sent, you would agree there would have been distribution? Or possession.
There would have been possession, yes, Your Honor. Okay. But he didn't do that. And in fact, had he printed them in this case, Your Honor, they would have gone to the staff at the internet cafe, and he never would have gotten those. Or at least
That like saying you have a letter in your hand, and unless you mail the letter, you don't possess it, but it's still in your hand?
At that point, Your Honor, you have a thing of substance in your hand, where in this case, the individual could not take that computer home with him, even though those files were downloaded to his internet cache.
Well,
that wasn't his computer.
What's the subject? What's subject to the property? The computer or what's on it?
Well, Your Honor,
what's the subject of possession?
The subject of possession would be the images, but the court...
Right, he can't take the computer home with him, but that's irrelevant.
Well, it's not irrelevant in this case, Your Honor, because it wasn't his computer first. He had a lease on it for a temporary period of time, and many people have looked at that computer, and in fact, there's testimony that many people have downloaded pornography. And he certainly doesn't possess that, and if we're going to go with that, then he possesses all of the images that are on that computer.
Well, can't many people possess the same thing? Maybe not at the same time.
They may, Your Honor, but the knowing possession as Charles, she needs to know that those images are there, and there's no evidence on the record that he did.
Well, he knows they're on the screen in front of him.
He does know they're on the screen.
He knows that, right?
Yes, much like watching TV, you know that the football game's on the screen in front of you, but in this case, he did no affirmative act to pull it off the screen and make it his own. Those images were displayed on his screen temporarily, but they were owned by Yahoo and also by the individual who owned that briefcase, none of which was him.
He walks into an internet cafe, which he has a screen displaying what others are looking at, and this picture came up. He couldn't do anything with it. Is that correct?
The evidence says he could print.
No, let's say if it came up on a screen on a television within the internet, he could do nothing with that. But he could do something with the screen that was in front of him because he had a keyboard and the ability to then manipulate that picture. Is that correct, under the record?
It was on the screen. Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Sounds to me like the decisions from the other circuits that you're relying on have a view of people of my generation who have been in a Rip Van Winkle state and show up and they have absolutely no idea what it is in front of them. So my question is, should we view the record in that light, or should we view it in the light of common experience today that you can manipulate that picture, right-click on the mouse, save it, put it in an email, and send it? And that would be known to a matter of common knowledge to people who use computers today. Why shouldn't we take that view, as opposed to the Van Winkle view that somebody just showed up in a cafe and they have no idea what to do with the image that's on the screen in front of them, and they have a keyboard as well?
Yes, Your Honor. In this case, based on the facts we have here, we don't have that additional step. While he may have been able to save them to an email and send them, which would actually be distribution at that point, there's no evidence on the record. And so if the government wants to go forward with the theory of viewing is now possession,
That's not my question. The introductory hypothetical I gave was the example you just gave, that is viewing. That is, you walk into an internet cafe and there's also a TV screen there displaying what others are looking at. That's viewing, and the individual can't do anything with that view. But here, he has a computer screen and a keyboard in front of him that allows him to take various actions with that material. Having that capability to do the things that the other circuits have talked about doing, why isn't that sufficient for possession?
Because it's a capability, as you mentioned, Your Honor, and I think we should evolve with the time. However, what he did does not constitute possession. He was looking at them. He did have the ability to exercise control, but he did not, in fact, do that. He did view the images, and there's no disputing that. They were automatically stored to temporary internet files. There's no disputing that, but there is no knowing possession by him because he didn't know they were going there, and he didn't do the additional act as deleting those images or cleaning his cache or having a program that wiped his internet history out.
So is it your position, I'm just trying to stop you right now to make sure that I understand your position, is it your position that irrespective of what he could have done, because he didn't do it, he's in the same position with respect to this child pornography as, for example, someone who was standing behind him viewing the screen behind him would have been, as long as he didn't do it?
Your Honor, he did have control of the computer. He sought, at the time he was on it, he sought out the images, and he viewed those images. At that point, while he's viewing them, he is no different than the person behind him looking at it. So he did take more affirmative steps, but as the circuits, the cases, I didn't mention the cases, but Griffin, Hawkins, and Tucker, they look at him. They did something else. They deleted those files. They saved them, reviewed them for 5 minutes, or attempted to save them to a computer. So she couldn't do any of those things. She didn't try to do any of those things.
Well, I wouldn't say he couldn't do any of those things.
There's no evidence on the record. So, and that is...
But that goes back to Chief Judge Efron's question, which is, because even in the absence of, I mean, we're to assume that, you know, he didn't... I mean, everyone knows that you can do those things with computer images. Would you agree with that? It's common knowledge today that everyone knows.
I don't know if we should make that assumption, Your Honor. I think we should look at what the government proved, and it certainly may not have been difficult for them to prove these images are here, everyone knows they're there, with common understanding and ways of the world, we know they're there. That did not get presented at trial.
What about the administrators?
He said the images were there.
Users may print what they see on their screen, yes.
Yes.
And they could send it if they wanted to as an email attachment, yes. So that's a different argument. Are you arguing that you shouldn't assume they could do any of this stuff, or we shouldn't assume that he knew you could do any of this stuff?
We shouldn't assume that he knew he could. And the question was, shouldn't we assume that everybody knows these things? And I don't think we should assume that.
Well, we don't have to assume that because it's in the record.
The operator of the Internet Cafe knew that you could print and knew that you could email, but that is not the same as saying that an Averstad knew he could do those things. Now, I don't think the quantum is great to get from viewing to possession. I just don't think that the government got there here. If he knew they were there and they proved it, that's enough. If he emailed them, that's enough, at least for the purposes of my client it is. And he didn't do those things. He didn't take that step. He didn't view them for a long period of time. In fact, in the sworn statement, he says, I looked at them briefly to confirm that they were. He did not then download them and right-click on them and email them. He didn't do those things.
Didn't the Tenth Circuit and Tucker, in fact, not address the issue that's here? They found that the accused in that case did exercise possession, and they didn't address the question of simply whether looking at it constituted possession. Right.
No, they didn't. You're right.
Okay. And then you say that in ROM, the Ninth Circuit relied on Tucker. Although they assert, evidently not in reliance on Tucker, that some quantum of additional control is necessary. So Tucker really falls out of this case, right?
Tucker didn't squarely address it.
Tucker didn't address this issue. It's not precedent for this issue, right?
Because he took affirmative actions demanding to leave.
Right, so they didn't have to address that.
They did not have to address that.
And ROM supposedly relies on Tucker, even though ROM adds an additional Philip.
Yes, ROM adds the case. It adds that, and it says...
So Tucker isn't authority for this.
Tucker is not authority
for the proposition you're advancing.
It helps us understand where they're going with this and what may push us over to the possession category instead of just the simple viewing. And I think the analysis of what they were doing with the images is instructive because they were all going onto the Internet and viewing them on their screens. So insofar as they all start there, we're in the same position as those cases who are dealing with the situation. We just have to have different steps here, like Ron looked at and like Kuczynski looked at, which is also a Ninth Circuit case. So if we're on the spectrum, I think we're more towards viewing and not possession because Walter may have been able to do those things. He did not actually do them, and there's no evidence on the record that he knew he could. And again, 2252, Alpha does not outlaw known viewing of images. And as originally charged, he can't be found guilty of the Clause 1 and 2 because the theory was possession. Had there been no possession, there wouldn't have been a Clause 1 or 2 violation because it wouldn't have been a statute, at least as the government argued the case. If we're done discussing possession, I'd like to move on to distribution. A much simpler argument, I think, if this court looks at the definition of visual depiction, hyperlink does not fit within that definition. It does not fit within that definition if we look at undeveloped film, and if we look at the GIF files, which the 1996 amendment to the CPPA dealt with to criminalize. It doesn't fall in there because it's not a necessary intermediate step, or at least that's one argument that can be made. Film. An individual takes a picture of the exploitation of children. It is then recorded on film, and then it is processed. Without the film, you cannot process the film to get the image. However, with a hyperlink, there's no need for the hyperlink. Detective McLaughlin could have searched the web himself. He could have gone to that web bulletin board that was publicly accessible, found a hyperlink himself, or to search the web, perhaps on Google, and found this pornography without the hyperlink. So if we're using film as the comparable, as it is outlined in the statute, we just don't get there with hyperlink.
Well, counsel, I think that the government's argument is that they're not saying that this is film. I think that they're saying that this is that the hyperlink is an electronic means which is capable of conversion into a visual image. And unless I'm mistaken, that's what they're arguing. So you might want to focus your argument on why that is not the case.
It's not the case, Your Honor, because much like a GIF file, if we take a GIF file starts as a picture. We'll start there. That picture is then scanned in to ones and zeros binary format, saved as a GIF file, .gif. And then that image is sent. And that image is recording, much like undeveloped film, it's recording an act. The picture started with film, probably, or digits on a digital camera. It was then converted into a file that was easy to transport, and it was sent. This hyperlink is data, it's ones and zeros, but it does not, one click, activate an image. It does not contain the substance of an image.
But it gets you to the, doesn't it get you to the image?
It does, Your Honor, but so does a road get you down the street. And a road is certainly not, if we're going to look at this, it's not a visual depiction. The visual depiction needs to be electronic data stored that is capable of conversion. And that hyperlink converts into an action. And it's an action that activates a web browser and takes the activator to the target destination.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you send me an email with a hyperlink, okay, and I receive the email and my internet service is interrupted and I click on the hyperlink, what will I see?
I have nothing. Which is precisely why this is not something capable of conversion. It does not have the substance. Now, if I attach an image, that GIF file, to an email, and let's say it goes to Outlook for purposes of simplicity because a web-based internet system wouldn't do this, we send it to Outlook, it goes to your computer, it's on your hard drive now, you click on that GIF file, it is going to convert with the proper program into a visual depiction. Much like when you add chemicals to undeveloped film, the proper chemicals, of course, it's going to turn into a picture that you can see with your eyes.
And is that the case whether there's an internet access available or not once you've received the email?
And this isn't on the record, ma'am, but if you were to email something to it, like Outlook, there was a Windows-based internet program, you would have the file.
Let's say it in the record. Where in the record is your position documented?
Taken down?
Well, one of these risks with these computers is that it goes back to Judge Efron's question, which is, are we working off the record, or are we working off of an average judge's knowledge of the computer? Are we working off of what our clerks figure out up there? What should we be doing here? Should we all run back to our office and type this stuff in and see what happens?
Your Honor, you're free to do that?
No, before you wanted us to work off the record.
I do, Your Honor.
Why don't the record explains what a hyperlink is and whether it gets you anything and how through how many links?
One witness says a hyperlink is an address.
One witness, say on page 94,
yep,
so-and-so says X.
Okay.
You don't have to do this.
No,
page
110.
Detective Goffin,
what does sending a hypertext do? That's paraphrasing the question. He could have very well sent the file individually, or could do it more streamlined by sending a hypertext, which allows me to access all the files. What does Detective Goffin say there? It's a means of access. Let's go. Narrowstead, 136, Detective McLaughlin again. Narrowstead never sent you actual pictures, did he? Oh, sure. You received an actual image. Of course, that would be distribution at that point. He sent the hypertext, which led to the photographs. Again, it's a path. It's directions. If we're going off the record, that's what we get. There are witnesses that say it's like an open book, but it's not like an open book. Now, the record may say that, but that would be inaccurate. And as Judge Ryan posed the question, it was her, I'm guessing, her knowledge of how the internet works. And she said, if I turn off the internet, what's the hyperlink do? And that hyperlink doesn't do anything.
But I think that Judge Baker's question is, do we assume my knowledge is the basis that we use for deciding the answer to this case?
No.
Or do we decide it based on what's in the record?
Your Honor, you should base it on what's on the record. And what's on the record, as I just read to you, a hyperlink is a way, and this is David Eugene Harding, Senior System Administrator, the individual who ran the Internet Cafe.
What page are you on?
I am on page 176. A hyperlink is a way that you can display a website, and you can send it via text or an email. You can give a website address, and then the receiver of that text or email, or whichever it is capable of clicking on that and going to a website. In this case, The website that that hacker text took the individual to had a list of file names. There were no images that were displayed on that briefcase front page. Now, the individual was capable of putting it in thumbnail view, which would have displayed many images, but that wasn't the case. There were lists of file names. Now, when the individual clicks on that file name is capable of conversion into a visual depiction. And that file name is what the statute seeks to criminalize, not the hyperlink leading to it.
If I give someone cocaine, I've distributed it.
Yes, you have, Your Honor.
If I tell someone to go open the drawer and pick the cocaine out himself, have I distributed it?
Your Honor, if it's your drawer in your home, then you have control over that home. You may have distributed it in that case, but here, Navistad sent a hyperlink, and it sent directions to Yahoo, to a web page, to someone else's briefcase, of which he had no control over whatsoever.
If I tell somebody to go talk to a third party who will give him cocaine.
Perhaps you distributed in that point, Your Honor, but if you know where those substances are, it's different. And I think it's distinguishable because this stuff, this data capable of conversion, and again, we have to look at what he sent was a hyperlink and directions.
Directions on how to get at the contraband.
I don't think that's good enough, Your Honor.
Would it be different if this had been charged as an aiding and abetting?
Your Honor, if this was charged as an aiding and abetting, perhaps it would. There is a case that I did not subcite, 11th Circuit, it's Hare, and it says you can go forward with that theory. But that case is terribly distinguishable from this one. That individual set up his own Yahoo briefcase and then sent the hyperlink to his own briefcase. And that was it charged aiding and abetting Yahoo, because Yahoo possessed the images.
What's your favorite metaphor?
My favorite metaphor?
Yeah, what metaphor and analogy do you hope this court adopts or considers when we're thinking about this case? Counsel spent a lot of time arguing about whether this was a book, a library, a teleport, or whatever. What is this? What metaphor do you want us to think
Your Honor,
about?
I think if you take the straight definition of what a hyperlink is, which is a command to take somewhere to one place on a page.
The straight definition, which is found where in the record?
It's found in the government's brief, Your Honor. In fact, it's not there. But I think a means of access. That's what it should be looked at, Your Honor, a means of access. Much like a road would be, I don't think we should go with directions because the internet address does in fact, the hyperlink does in fact send a command and it does activate a web browser. But this is certainly a means of access. Now again, going back to your question, Your Honor, if it was charged as an aider or abetter theory, perhaps. But the government in this case did not prove any evidence that there was a main actor. I'm willing to say principal because that would be Article 77, but there was no main actor. Yahoo didn't set this up.
What about attempt?
Your Honor, he sent a hyperlink, so there's no intent involved there at all. He knew exactly what he was sending, and it wasn't.
Wait, did you say, I said attempt?
Attempt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have an affirmative. He did distribute a hyperlink. He didn't attempt to distribute child pornography. He was sending exactly what he wanted to. At least there's no evidence on the record to the contrary. There may be another theory, Your Honor. However, under Riley, this court cannot affirm under a theory not presented to the finder of fact. And in this case, the government went forward with the theory of he did distribute. That's page 98 of the government's open. Accused did distribute child pornography, and he did possess it. There is no mention, no argument by the government that he facilitated, aided, or abetted the distribution of child pornography by sending a hyperlink which had direct access to that child pornography. That was not alleged. The defense fought against he sent pornography. And the defense counsel did a fine job of distinguishing distribution of a hyperlink and what a hyperlink is from what child pornography is. And if you look straight to the statute, which is what we're bound to do, this is not capable of conversion into a visual depiction.
The record establishes that an individual in New York made a telephone call to Los Angeles. Does the record have to set forth the technology by which an individual in New York can talk to somebody in Los Angeles at the same time?
I'm not following on it, but I don't think so, basically. Yeah,
then why does the record have to establish anything about how hyperlinks work?
Your Honor, it doesn't have to establish how hyperlinks work, but the fact of what a hyperlink is, it is not an image capable of conversion. So if we just look at what a hyperlink is and look at what the evidence did prove at trial, it's directions. It's a means of access. We can stop right there because if they would have asked what's a hyperlink, they could have said, well, it's data stored that's capable of conversion into child pornography. We would have stopped the discussion. Would that have been an accurate definition? No. But the government didn't establish that, yes, you
well, why does, have why does, corn. Why does the government have to establish that any more than the government would have to establish that a person in New York can talk to somebody in Los Angeles?
Because, Your Honor, this is a knowing distribution charge here, and we have to have a knowingly distributed child pornography. And if he thinks he sent a hyperlink and it wasn't child pornography, then the government has a burden beyond a reasonable doubt.
So the circumstantial evidence couldn't be sufficient to prove knowing distribution. How does that fit into our whole analysis of knowing drug possession, in which we virtually never get any testimony from the individual regarding knowing possession, but it's an inference made from metabolites that are inside an individual's bloodstream?
Yes, Your Honor, I'm running out of time shortly here, but I'll answer your question.
You can take the time to answer that question.
Possession or distribution of a drug, looking at the Young case from last session, we have constructive possession. It's in his home. He was near it. His fingerprints were all over it. We know that he did something to it to possess that substance. We can draw inferences, but what we have here is not an inference we can draw. And I'll go back to, this is a hyperlink, and a hyperlink is not capable of conversion. So while he may have sent something that led to another thing, he did not send the item. So in the drug cases, we have something. We may not have him admitting, yes, I had the drugs, or yes, it was in my, I used them. But there is something. There is something else there that shows, yes, he did distribute, or yes, he did possess. We don't have this.
Just to make sure that I understand your argument, you're not disputing that there was distribution that was knowing. Your focus is on what was knowingly distributed. Is that correct?
That's correct. He did not knowingly distribute child pornography. He knowingly distributed a hyperlink. That's correct. And that hyperlink does not fall within the definition. And with that, we request that you dismiss specifications 4 and 5 and we'll go to sentence for sure.
Thank you, counsel. And you have an opportunity on rebuttal.
Thank you.
Counsel for the government.
May it please the court. I am Captain Jared Stallone, along with Major Elizabeth Murata, represent the government in this matter. This court should affirm the Army Court's decision because appellant both possessed and distributed child pornography. The two granted issues hinge on the definitions of those two words, distribution and possession. In light of the congressional intent to protect children from sexual exploitation and the rapidly evolving and changing virtual world that permits instantaneous dissemination of information at the click of a mouse, appellant act fits squarely within the definition of distribution and possession as Congress envisioned when they enacted the Child Pornography Prevention Act. The facts in this case are legally sufficient to support appellant's conviction under the federal statute and Clause 1 or 2 of Article 134. With permission of the court, I will address the possession issue first and then move on to distribution. Thank you, Your Honor. Appellant possessed child pornography by exercising dominion and control over the images. Four factors establish this. First, appellant sought out child pornography. Second, he viewed the child pornography. Third, he had the ability to copy, print, and email the images. And fourth, he sent a hyperlink containing those images to the undercover detective.
Wait a minute. Did the hyperlink contain, I know we're getting into the other issue,
right,
but did it actually contain the issues, or did it give an address as to where the issues could be found?
It was a means of getting there, Your
Honor.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Do you see, appellant argued that that's all great if someone could print an email, but he didn't know that. And what's your response to that? Is your response to the fact that he emailed the hyperlink, or how do you respond to that argument?
He did email the hyperlink, number one, Your Honor. Number two, he did copy the internet, the hyperlink from the Case's brief, or Case's chat room, into the chat that was then sent to Detective McLaughlin.
What pages of the record do you hope we're reading when we consider that issue?
I would page 182 and 223. That's the ability to email coming from Mr. Hardinge and Chief Warrant Officer Sigmund. The ability to copy came from Chief Warrant Officer Sigmund, also page 223. And the ability to print came from Mr. Hardinge at
But again,
Record Site 173.
Ability, does that mean it was knowing ability, using appellant's argument?
Knowing ability,
What demonstrates, if one accepts appellant's argument, what demonstrates that this particular person knew that having put the thing up on the screen, he could email it or print it?
Well, first, Your Honor, he did email the hyperlink.
Where is that in the record?
That he emailed the hyperlink?
Right. That the specific things he was looking at on this public computer were what was sent in the hyperlink, that the hyperlink was to.
I'm sorry, are you talking about the hyperlink itself? What was...
I think that what you're saying is we know that he knew that he could do things, that he exercised dominion control over the images that he viewed on the public computer because that's the images that the hyperlink was to.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Your Honor.
Where is that specific point in the record?
Well, in the record, his confession states that he did copy the hyperlink and put it into the chat. The chat log themselves shows that he put that into the chat log. So maybe I'm misunderstanding your question, Your Honor. I mean, that would be his exercising. That is one of the areas that he's exercising dominion control over that by sending that hyperlink.
Counsel,
yes, Your Honor.
You had your four aspects of exercising dominion and control. One, that he sought out the pornography, that he viewed the pornography, and that he had the ability to copy it. And putting aside right now the sending the hyperlink, let's take the hypothetical that he walks into an internet cafe or more probably a porno shop and looks up on the wall, and there on a television screen is a image of pornography, child pornography. So he's sought it out, he's viewing it, and he has the ability to hand that guy behind the desk a dollar bill and get a copy of that. Does he have possession before he takes any of those actions of the child pornography?
He would not have possession at the time. He is not. He is viewing the child pornography that's on the wall at that time. He doesn't have the ability to copy, print.
No, he has the ability to copy because he can buy the picture. He can buy it from the guy at any time.
But this, Your Honor, I guess the distinction that needs to be made is that he could purchase it.
Could print it. In this case, he could print it. There, he could purchase it. I'm just wondering where the distinction is.
This is not a viewing case, a pure viewing case, because he had the ability to do these other activities such as email, print, copy. Now, he would not be able to do that in the pornography shop example that you're giving here. He could see it, but he wouldn't be able to instantaneously be able to copy that image of child pornography or print that image. He could then go on and purchase it, which obviously if he purchased it, he'd be in possession. But this is not a viewing case. He sought it out, he viewed the pornography, and he had this ability because of the functioning of the computer and what he could do with it on the screen to print, email, and copy.
And in the facts of this case, why isn't it important that he knows that he had that ability to print or email the image? I mean, the fact that there is some kind of vague ability out there is one thing. The fact that he knew that he had that ability is another. And I'm not sure I see that in the record.
There is nothing explicit in the record that says that he, because he obviously didn't testify, that said that he knew he could print, he knew he could email, he knew he could copy. But all those, he did copy by copying the hyperlink. He understood he could do that. He did send the hyperlink in a text, which is, copying and putting in it, very much like sending an email. So in that sense, he demonstrated through his acts, and that came out in the record, that he could do those activities, which established the possession.
Thank you.
Counsel, you mentioned that he did not testify. So on this record, we don't know what he knew as a direct matter. So we're then put into the atmosphere of inferences and circumstantial evidence.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Now, with respect to the hyperlink, what does the record tell us about what the recipient would have to do to view the picture?
Detective McLaughlin explained that and stated that when he got the hyperlink, he clicked on it. At the point in which he clicked on it, he then went to the Yahoo briefcase. It's a virtual storage space that his main purpose is to store files. And in there were a number of files. He clicked on the file and then was able to get to a listing that had the JPEG images or the GIF images of child pornography.
So here we don't have a direct opening from the hyperlink.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Go ahead.
Then my question is, what was it that he was distributing at that point? Was he distributing a picture, or was he distributing access to an area in which there were things other than the picture?
He was distributing a visual depiction as defined by the statute. That being, the statute states that a visual depiction specifically includes electronic means which is capable of conversion into an image, and that is what the hyperlink is. It is capable of conversion into the pornographic images.
I think that's not quite what I was getting at. We don't have before us here, according to your description of the record, a hyperlink that opened a picture.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Then, if the hyperlink opened things other than the picture, and if any of those items in there were not pornography, why does the transmission of the hyperlink constitute a distribution of the picture? Let's assume, without deciding at this point, that a transmission of a hyperlink, which has one picture in it, or consists only of pictures of pornography, would constitute distribution. I understand that argument. But if the hyperlink itself is going to a link that opens up something broader, that has permissible as well as impermissible material in it, why does that constitute a distribution at that point?
Again, I think a key fact, Your Honor, is that this was to a virtual storage space, a space that was maintained for the purpose of storing images, or storing files which contained images. It's very akin to, in the tangible world, a disk. If someone were to hand another person a disk that had child pornography and other images or files on it, they would still be distributing the child pornography, even if it was only a small portion of what was on the disk. And so in him sending him the hyperlink to the virtual storage area, that his purpose was to hold files, it was like handing him a disk that had child pornography on it.
Well, what happens if an individual... May I ask one follow-up question? An individual is in an internet cafe and is interested in sports and sees some pictures of the latest game last night with the Ravens and New England and wants to send pictures of that to a friend. And in sending that hyperlink, it so happens that that particular site has child pornography on it. How do you distinguish that case from this one? That is, that's your view, that's a disk. But the individual who sent it, he had no idea at that point that the electronic hyperlink disk that he was sending would link the individual to pornography as well as NFL pictures.
And that may go toward the knowing element of the knowing distribution in that case. That's not the case we have here. He knew exactly what was there. He looked and checked and ensured that there was actual child pornography and then went and sent that to an individual who he thought was a 15-year-old boy. So In that case, it may be that, again, would go to the knowing element, not necessarily to the distribution.
Counsel, I'm wondering how important the hyperlink itself is in this case. And so let's take this hypothetical. What if he had sent the email, the website address in an email, just typed it out, and put that into the chat room? Would that constitute distribution?
I think that would be a closer call, Your Honor. But if you look at some of the other cases, whether it be the peer-to-peer cases or the Tracy case.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, let's go back to that. Because if he typed out the website address, there's no clicking and going anywhere. That individual has to then type in that address and then go there on his own. So is that a distinction that we can look at here?
Oh, absolutely, Your Honor. Is that the hyperlink is the means, the electric means that sends the individual directly there.
So in this case, the hyperlink is an important aspect of the government's case.
Absolutely, Your Honor. The hyperlink, the fact that you click on it and it is the means that takes you directly to a virtual storage space.
In response to Judge Efron, Chief Judge Efron's question, you stated that once he clicked on the internet, he distributed a visual depiction of child pornography. And getting back to an earlier question that was asked by Judge Ryan, once he sends the hyperlink and the hyperlink is received, let's assume that the internet connection then is broken.
So it's after the recipient has received the hyperlink. Okay.
The recipient's received the hyperlink. There is no longer an internet connection. What happens when he clicks on the internet or on the hyperlink?
He's already distributed.
No. I'm asking about the recipient, Adam here. He's got the hyperlink in his chat room, mailbox, or whatever it may be.
Yes, Your Honor.
But when he tries to click on it, nothing happens.
If the intent of the appellant was to send him child, if the facts were exactly the same as this case, except when the detective clicked on the link, it didn't open up, there would be an attempted distribution at that point.
Well, okay, now we're not talking about attempted distribution.
He's already, yes, Your Honor.
I guess I'm trying to find out where the distinctions are between sending a attachment, which I think we all would agree is distribution of child pornography, which even if you're not on the internet and you click it, that is going to convert to an image of child pornography. Okay, regardless of your internet attachments, here you're sending what has been stated in the record as an address or a shortcut. And if internet connectivity is no longer there and you click on it, you're nowhere. You get nothing. So how can that be you're not taken to the child pornography that is stored on that site that they were directed to. So how can that be then distribution?
Right, Your Honor. Is it capable of conversion? That's the question. It's not if it's immediately capable of conversion. Once the internet came back up, could he have then gone to get the pornography? It would just be in the case of undeveloped film. If you're developing film and for some reason the machine breaks, it's still child pornography. Or if you're getting ready to watch a video cassette and electricity goes off, that item is still capable of conversion into a visual depiction.
Well, that's what we have here. I just have one more question. The data that's in the hyperlink, the ones and the zeros, is that data in itself convertible to a child pornographic image, or is that data convertible, to a address of a website?
Under the statute, Your Honor, we would say that it is a visual depiction.
That's not his question.
So
No, that wasn't my question. The ones and zeros, the data that is contained in the hyperlink, if you were to convert that, do those result in a visual depiction of child pornography, or do they result in an address?
It would be an address. It would send you somewhere. It's the means to get there. So it is not immediately convertible, but the government's argument is that it is capable conversion, not maybe on one click, but within a number of clicks, it would be capable of conversion, and that's why it's a visual depiction. However, that's not the only only argument the government presents is that there's also the case law out there on within distribution within the internet context of the peer-to-peer cases. And this is very analogous to the peer-to-peer. However, it's more efficient, quicker, and it allows the pornographer to have a more limited time with actual physical possession of those images. They're able to store them on a virtual storage bin, and other individuals can hyperlink to it. So it's more efficient than the peer-to-peer, yet the case law says that making child pornography available is distribution. So that is another line of cases that the government would point this court's attention to.
But in that case, making it available, who in this case is making it available, the appellant or the person who created it and maintained the briefcases?
In this case, the Yahoo is the one who's holding it on their server. And it is an individual who, it did not come out in the record, an individual owned that briefcase. Yahoo basically leased it to him. In this case, appellant sent the hyperlink to that briefcase to the undercover detective. So he made that immediately available by a click of two or three mouse clicks.
So this goes back to the question that I asked appellant's counsel earlier, which is, wouldn't this be a different case if he'd been charged with aiding and abetting?
Yes, there is no, this was a multi-judge alone case. It was not under Article 77, a principal is one who aids and abets or the one who actually commits a crime. And in this case, aiding and abetting, I think there was a need for a jury instruction. I think that the military judge could have found him guilty under the aiding and abetting theory of the case. Very similar to the Tracy case that we cited in the drug distribution, and that being that he did, in Tracy, advised the individual police officer where the drugs were, vouched for the credibility, showed him where to talk with the dealer. That's exactly what was done in the internet context. In the virtual context, when the appellant sent the hyperlink to tell the 15-year-old boy, who he thought was a 15-year-old boy, where to get the child pornography.
Can I ask you a question about your possession argument, just to, now that I'm looking at appellant's confession, just to make sure that I understand?
Yes, Your Honor.
When you were talking about the four reasons that we could find that appellant had exercised dominion and control in this case from the public kiosk, were you talking, I'm just trying to make sure that I understand, on page 3 of Prosecution Exhibit 1, which is appellant's sworn statement, from about midway down the page, he starts being asked questions about photographs that hyperlinks were being sent to, and he talks about viewing them and then sending them. Is it your argument that we can infer that he actually exercised dominion and control over these photos because he viewed them and then sent the hyperlink to these photos?
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. I think that him sending the hyperlink is him exercising control. But I think the government's argument would be that him sitting at the computer, seeking out child pornography, viewing child pornography, and having the ability of those three things, print, email, and copy, is enough in itself to be possession. But he even went beyond that in this case and sent the hyperlink itself to the detective McLaughlin.
Well, what do you make of your sort of potential ability to do something with the child pornography photos? What are we to make of the cases from the circuits that appellant has correctly cited to that suggest that the fact that you viewed them and that they may have even been in your cache were not enough?
There are two issues there, Your Honor. The first is that those cases are looking at whether the individual possessed the images that are in the cache. That's not the argument here. We understand that he could not have access to those images in the cache. The cache was evidence in this case that he actually viewed the images. But we're not arguing, like in the other, in the Rahm, the Tucker, those cases are asking whether or not an individual possesses the images in the cache.
Well, by implication, the fact that they're focusing on that means to me that they thought it wasn't enough that at some point he had viewed them and could have done something with them and did not. Right? They were focusing on what he actually still had, as opposed to what he had viewed at one time and could have done something with. Or am I misunderstanding?
In those cases, yes, they are saying that possession in the cache is enough, and knowledge. And they're talking about whether he knew, the individual knew that he could get into the cache to retrieve them. But that is bad law, in the government's opinion, from the standpoint that an individual who knows something about computers, who views child pornography, would be found legally sufficient and guilty. But a person who doesn't know much about computers, who goes and looks at child pornography and doesn't have any concept of where the images are going, would be not guilty because he didn't have knowledge that they go to the cache. That's not the issue. The issue is viewing it and having the ability to print, copy, and email.
Well, I understand the argument that you're making, and I've seen all of the articles to the same effect, but my question is somewhat different. I mean, presumably, if these images are stored out in the cache, at some point they were on his screen, on these other defendants' screens, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
I mean, and I'm just asking, isn't it instructive in some sense that the courts in those cases aren't focusing on the fact that at some point he looked at the screen and could have done something with it? Instead, they're looking at what is actually physically in his possession, which is stored on the cache in the personal computer.
Well, the government concedes that there is a split. If you looked at the supplemental site that the government provided, the Diordo case, that is a Pennsylvania case, granted, but it illustrates that in that case, they looked at his ability to move the mouse around, his ability to print, copy, and email.
But didn't that statute prohibit possession or control, and didn't the court in that case focus on the control aspect and not on the possession aspect?
Yes, Your Honor, but the control is, if you look at the definition of, you can look for many definitions for possession, but 112 alpha is a definition. Possession means to exercise control over something. And that's exactly the same analysis that was done by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
I don't want to get off track here, but you referenced 112 alpha, and one of the provisions in that definition of possession states that possession inherently includes the power or authority to preclude control by others.
Yes, Your Honor.
Did he have it in this case?
He could preclude the control by others of what was on his screen. Yes, Your Honor. He had absolute control of what was on his screen.
Did the administrator testify that they could override?
Override what, Your Honor?
Wouldn't the administrator go onto all the computer screens?
Yes, Your Honor. I don't recall that he could go onto the screen in live time at the same time as the other individuals.
There is one main computer, right?
Yes, Your Honor. And
presumably the people who control the one main computer control the one main computer that shuts down all the 14 satellites.
Correct. That's my understanding, is that if he were to shut off the internet connection, I guess
I'm
at that point.
I want you to try and address Judge Erdman's question with that in mind.
Is that he could exercise control over the images at that time? And
well, now let's just go back. If what he has been accused and convicted of sending are the images that were contained under your argument in the hyperlink, how could he prohibit others from accessing the images in the hyperlink, the images in the briefcase? Because ultimately that's your case, that he actually distributed the images in the briefcase. How can he prohibit others from accessing or controlling the images in the briefcase?
There is no evidence on the record that he had the ability at that point to prohibit others from looking at that. And I think it brings up an interesting, is that possession, in that there is no perfect analogy to the internet. And the internet is, and what can be done there is things that are unable to be done in the tangible world.
Well, what's your best analogy then to the internet in this case?
I think the
same
best
question that Judge Baker asked earlier.
Right. The best analogy would the government would say is that this is very much like the peer-to-peer networks. Is that this is a situation where the purpose of the storage bin is to hold files, very similar to a shared file folder in a peer-to-peer, and the purpose is the same. The purpose and functionality is to exchange child pornography.
Okay, and how about an analogy for peer-to-peer network then? You've chosen.
Right.
I was asking for a normal English major analogy, not a geek analogy.
Me here too.
Yeah.
The analogies are there is no perfect analogy. There have been cases in the period.
Yeah, my question is there a perfect analogy? I'm asking you if you had to pick one, or if you hope you're going to live with whatever we're talking about back there. So you better, we're going to talk analogies. It's your pony one up.
The
appellant said a means of access was there, what they want to say, and if you want to live with peer-to-peer or whatever that is, that's fine. But I'm suggesting, at least for me, you might want to try a different one.
Well,
not that I don't have complete mastery over all aspects of cachet.
Understood. Some of the analogies that maybe were used in the peer-to-peer cases, like the gas station analogy that was used in I believe, I know it was cited in the Christie case, the Army case, and it's difficult to come up with analogy because of the complexity of the internet and the functioning. It's functioning.
Right? Well, in your brief, you quoted the Webster Online Dictionary for hyperlink as an electronic link providing direct access, and that seems to be pretty close to the analogy or the definition that the appellant gave. I mean, are you still comfortable with that definition in your brief?
That a hyperlink provides direct access?
Yeah.
Yes, Your Honor. In this case, it gave direct access.
How did it provide direct access if it took you to a briefcase?
It gave you,
and not to a picture.
It gave you direct access to that briefcase, which is the equivalent of a computer disk in the virtual world. I see my time's about up. If there are any more questions, may I briefly conclude? Hyperlinking to visually.
I just had one comment. On page 24, you say it would be, I hope this is not what you're saying, but you seem to suggest that it would be unconscionable for this court not to adopt your interpretation of distribute. Is that your view? Is this a case in which reasonable people might disagree on what the meaning of distribute means?
Yes, Your Honor, but if you look at the congressional intent behind the statute,
what has the government done then to seek clarification in the definition, since there's a number of cases that deal with this issue? Has the government sought to amend the statute in order to better clarify the term distribute?
At this point, I'm not aware of
has the government acted then in an unconscionable manner?
I am not aware of any case or the DOJ working right now to get a change in the definition of distribution. So I will briefly conclude. Hyperlinking to virtual storage spaces is the most technologically advanced and efficient means of trading child pornography. Trading and possessing child pornography is exactly what Congress intended to prohibit when they enacted 18 U.S.C. 2252 Alpha. Appellant possessed child pornography because he exercised dominion control of the images. He not only sought out child pornography, but also had the ability to print, email, and copy the images. Furthermore, appellant acts constitute distribution. A hyperlink is a visual depiction, and appellant's act of making the child pornography available fits within the definition. This honorable court should affirm the findings and sentence. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for the defense, rebuttal.
Briefly, Your Honor.
If I could start with a question. It's my understanding your position is that if this had been, for example, a JPEG file, then the distribution would be prohibited by the statute?
It was sent via an email, Your Honor. I sent to that chat room, yes.
If the recipient's internet access was down, what would be the situation then? Person couldn't open it up until the internet access was back up, could they?
You're talking about the hyperlink or the JPEG now, Your Honor?
JPEG.
It depends on where the JPEG's at. If it was a web-based, and this isn't on the record here, but if you're going to ask a question, if it's a web-based email system, then you're not going to be able to open it at all. If it is Outlook, for example, that's Windows-based, you're going to be able to open that.
How can you open it if your internet access is down?
Because
you can't get any Outlook.
Yes, sir.
Recipient mail if your internet access is down.
If it hits your inbox, it's capable of conversion at that point. But a JPEG in and of itself is capable of conversion, so at any stage along this process, as long as it hits the individual and he's actually, in fact, sent it to you and you've received it, it is capable of conversion.
So the distribution is not complete at the point of distribution. It's only at the point of reception, in your view?
Wherever the distribution case law says it's complete, which I would argue is when he gets it, then, or else it's an attempt, then we've got the distribution. Now, that JPEG is data stored, which is capable of conversion. Much like the government argues that a hyperlink is like a CD with images on it. Well, I would argue that the briefcase may be like a CD with images on it, but that hyperlink is, one, not tangible, and two, does not contain all of the data that a CD can store.
What if the hyperlink only requires one click for access?
Your Honor, the hyperlink is still merely a hyperlink and is not.
So that if someone sends a hyperlink and you only need to click it on once to get the image of pornography, in your view, that's not distribution?
Let me back up. If you click that hyperlink, and a hyperlink can be many things, so if it sends a command to open, and it is really a means of access, if it then transfers a file name, much like in the Yahoo briefcase, into an image, if it decompresses, then you've got that. You've got child pornography. But this hyperlink is a means of access.
I understand your distinction that you're trying to draw in this case.
There are hyperlinks and hyperlinks. I thought you were arguing that hyperlink per se wasn't
capable. It is not data capable of conversion. That is correct, Your Honor.
Well, then it doesn't come within the statute.
It does not come within the statute.
Then I misunderstand your response.
I apologize. I was confusing there. No, the hyperlink is not data stored, which is capable of conversion. Because
so, in general, in this case, because the definition cited by the government said direct access to something.
Well,
so in theory,
it's direct access to somewhere.
Well, you seem to be saying if it takes five clicks, it's not, and if it takes one click, it is.
No, that's not correct. If you click on a file and it contains the data, which is capable of conversion, then you've got the image. The hyperlink, in this case, was a command, a means to access to a Yahoo briefcase.
My question, I believe that Judge Stuckey's follow-up question was not specifically about the record in this case. It was a question of whether, in analyzing this area, the court should determine that a hyperlink can never be a distribution. And the question is, if the hyperlink is sent and an individual has to click on it once and the child pornography comes up, is that or is that not distribution?
Your Honor, that is not distribution. The hyperlink is not data capable of conversion.
But
it may take you to a page on a website that's got the JPEG file or the GIF on the screen, but that's not. That's
not this case in any event.
It certainly is not. And
but I'm just trying to clarify what you said before, because I'm not. Were you saying that in the instance where the hyperlink, because you'd agree that there are hyperlinks and there are hyperlinks, right? But the hyperlink is will depend on what you send, what you decide to send. And so if you get to an actual photo page and you copy the link and you send that link, when someone clicks on it, it will take you directly to the picture, correct? And what you were saying before is once someone has clicked on that picture, that then there's a distribution of the picture?
That picture is the data capable of conversion. If you're sending a hyperlink, you're just sending a hyperlink, and there was no distribution of a hyperlink here. But the hyperlink and the image are two different things.
What's your rebuttal to the government's four-part argument about dominion control, in particular the argument that the hyperlink demonstrates the knowing capability to email?
Okay, he exercised dominion or control over a hyperlink. So our response to that is he did not exercise dominion or control over the image.
But your argument earlier was that there's nothing in the record that indicates he had any idea he could email the pictures he was looking at.
That's correct. He did.
Now, the government's argument is, well, he knew he could email a hyperlink. Why doesn't that indicate by inference that he knew he could email something else on his computer?
Right. I'm well out of time. Point to answer the question. One, he didn't email anything. He sent a hyperlink in an internet chat session. So, one, he didn't email.
Well, my fault.
So, two, well, that was what the government argued
with the internet chat.
Two,
it's like a peer-to-peer gas station.
Your Honor, perhaps that publicly accessible briefcase is like a peer-to-peer gas station, self-serve gas station. But that hyperlink is not. You get a hyperlink, it's a hyperlink.
I'm not arguing about hyperlinks. I'm asking you a question about whether the fact that he knew whatever it is he did, he could do with that. Why doesn't that demonstrate, by inference, that he knew whatever he did with that, he could have also done with one of the pictures he pulled up on the screen?
Your Honor, if you want to draw that inference, that's your prerogative. He knew he could exercise dominion and control over.
It may be my prerogative, but you better make it not my prerogative.
Your Honor, and I'll read question by a military judge, cutting off the first three sentences, page 140.
I mean, if that's a fair inference, that
it's not.
Say yes.
He knew he could demonstrate, and he did exercise dominion or control over a hyperlink. But there's no evidence that he knew he could download an image to whatever he could look at on his kiosk-type computer, save it to an email, and send it. One, he didn't email anything. Two, he didn't try to do that, and there's no evidence on the record that he did try to do that. He knew he could send a hyperlink. That's all we can infer from that. And when we look at what the military judge asked, if you just permit me to go on, when you got this sent to you, referring to the hyperlink, did you get thumbnails, or did you get the slideshow of all the pictures? In other words, when you opened it, what happened? This is the government witness questioned by the military judge. When you open it up, you get a list of the files that are present within the Yahoo box, a list of files. It doesn't say images. You can't actually see the thumbnails. You have to trigger the thumbnails to see those if you elect to do so. Here, the appellant sent a hyperlink. That is all he sent, and that's all he knowingly issued. Are there no further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. We thank counsel for both parties for the presentation today. Our case is now submitted, and the court will be in recess until 10 minutes after 10 o'clock.
The court stands in recess until 10:10.